Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello and welcome to Meatcast. My name's Nick, and with me as always is Kyle. Kyle, you have a haircut today.
Yeah, a new haircut. Right into it.
I guess you always have a haircut.
All my hair is always in some status of having been cut at some point.
Yeah, I guess unless you're a newborn baby.
Unless you're a newborn baby. Or if you're just a person who likes letting it go, you know, that's fine too.
Well, but if you've ever had a haircut, then the statement is true, right?
Oh yeah.
So true. Anyway, I don't know what it,
you got me by my own logic there, sir.
Yeah, what's cut cannot be uncut.
That's true.
It's true for many things.
That's our game master JP Bremer joining us today. Now, Kyle, I wanted to ask you, and JP, you were mentioning earlier that the barber put some product in your hair.
Yeah.
That made it very crunchy. Is that the word you
well,
use? Crisp?
Rigid. It's not rigid. Crunchy because it's like a pomade, but it's not like a gel, so you don't have that, but it's very, it's stiff. It's holding.
You know? What do you usually use?
I usually use this same stuff. I use the Layrite pomade, the natural matte cream Layrite, but just like a little dabble do you. You know, I don't like to go too heavy into it. I did, actually, this is big news. I recently ordered a trial of a new, I might be switching hair products soon.
Oh my gosh.
I'm trying out the Moroccan oil. Hair. I forget what it's like, taming cream or something like that.
Kyle, I use the Moroccan oil.
And no kidding.
I cannot recommend it enough.
Dude,
if you're looking for that wet hair look without that gel hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got this wavy hair, and I feel like I've been trying to embrace that. And the Layrite's letting me do that a little bit, but I feel like I need more. I need to let it be itself even more than I'm letting it be. And I'm hoping the Moroccan oil will help with that.
And JP, that shocks me because I would have guessed that you simply don't use any kind of hair product.
Yes, when I say I use it about
once. Damn, that's
once.
Rude as hell.
No, rude and accurate. Typically, I'm wearing a hat.
You are usually wearing
a bit of a hat guy, so it's a bit of a mystery under there. And it'd be a waste to just spray what spills out from under the hat. I wouldn't do that. But
you've got like thick, kind of curly-ish hair, I would say.
That's true.
You got great hair.
Yeah, waves.
Yeah.
Waves, yeah. I'm painting a picture for the listener here when I say that. So what do you do with your hair when you put the cream, when you put the product in there?
I just
you it comes with cream. It's a cream. You don't need to run away from the word cream.
Oh no, the Moroccan oil is an oil.
Oh well they so you if you use the oil, they make like a styling cream that's not
wait.
The oil. It's the brand is Moroccan oil.
Oh, well, you're teaching me about my own product right now.
I mean, it maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe you're using Moroccan oil. This is like. It's the brand is called Moroccan oil, but they make it's like a hair cream, you know, like almost like a pomade, but not like quite that level.
Well, then
you guys getting all this?
Where did you guys hear about this Moroccan oil? Is this like are the influencers using
I'll do
this?
I do a little Google search every now and then to try and, you know, figure out
what are
out.
The new hair trends?
Well, just like, you know, wavy hair products. You know, things like that. Light hold, you know, whatever.
That's one of your you have like a Google alert for light hold.
Light hold, yeah.
Mine just sort of okay. It sort of showed up in my bathroom one day. I don't know where it came from, but it was just there, and I started using it.
Shawn Mendes snuck into your bathroom in the dead of night and left it.
Does he famously use Moroccan oil?
Yeah, that's who I there was a GQ article that I saw that was like, I use this stuff, you know, it's great. And I'm reading about it and I'm like, that sounds pretty good, man. I'd give that a shot, you know.
You're really tapped to all the latest.
Yeah.
Listen, I care about my physical appearance despite what some may think. It matters to me.
So you saw this in the Gentleman's Quarterly.
Yeah, I did. Okay. One of the quarters.
All right, well, let's move on to... And nobody asks, but I don't use any kind of hair product. I guess nobody asked because they already knew that. All right, let's move on to This Week in Heathcliff.
This Week on Heathcliff.
Okay, so Heathcliff, from March 15th, he is standing atop a pile of beaten-up dogs. It looks like maybe Spike is one of those dogs. They have black eyes and X's over their eyes and little spirals above their heads. And Heathcliff is sort of doing a shouting pose like he's a conquering hero. And there's little clouds and squiggly lines coming out of his mouth. And Grandma Nutmeg and her friend are weirdly positioned in the window.
Like, I was going to say, we got to talk about this. This perspective. Looks like they're,
yeah, I'm not sure if they're inside or outside the house. But Grandma is saying he's also got a cute and cuddly side. So sort of a... I think the interesting thing here is that, yeah, they're positioning.
Yeah. I mean, I love this Heathcliff stance. Heathcliff is looking like a
warrior.
Real tough guy.
You know? He's filled with power right now. This is filling me with like masculine machismo energy.
This is some Dragon Ball Z stuff.
Yes.
You know, that he's doing right here. His power levels are over 4,000.
It's very Super Saiyan. I want to see gorgeous blonde locks flowing out of his skull.
If somebody could make us a Super Saiyan Heathcliff, that would be so sick. Somebody please, a listener, get on that. I would love to see that.
This pose is doing half your work for you.
You're most of the way there. You just got to figure out how to put blonde hair on this. Because his head's tilted back. You can't really...
Do you think that's what he was inspired by here? Or what do you think... do you think he was inspired by anime? Or was he... What is this post?
I mean, I initially was sort of thinking like, you know, like a New Zealand rugby team. You know how like before they do that, they do that whole thing. I forget what it's called. But, yeah. You know, they do the dance that or dance. Whatever. Which is also sick. God, dudes rock, you know. I think it could go either way. I don't know.
All right, well.
Do you think he's screaming Mortal Kombat, maybe?
What do they say in Mortal Kombat? Like, get over here?
Yeah, they say, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's one thing they say. They say, get over here.
They say, flawless victory.
They say, whoopee!
They say, finish him. The single Snaggletooth is doing a lot of work here. If that Snaggletooth was missing, I think this image would be less.
Very different. Yeah.
It'd be very different if it was just the gaping maw of Heathcliff.
It would look much more Dune Sandworm, you know, opening.
Now, JP, we like to use the comics to get to know our guests.
Yeah, I heard about this.
We do like to do that.
News to me.
Have you ever beaten somebody up?
You know?
Have you ever stood in a window weird?
I've definitely stood in the window weird. I can, in my perspective, they're like, they're leaning on their knees and slightly tilted out the window is the way my mind is trying to, and they're also wearing like training stilts because they're a little too tall.
Yeah, it does look like the window would be like very low, but also there's definitely some like, not a basement, but like a crawl space or something too.
Yeah, there must be a crawl space.
Yeah, but no, to answer your question, I've never been in a fight, much less a fight where the bodies were piled up haphazardly around me. What about you guys? You ever found yourself coming to blows?
I've never been in a Donnybrook myself. I've never been in a situation where I'm in a cloud of dust with a bunch of other people, and then my hands are shooting out of the cloud, and noises are coming out, and people are, you know, and then the dust clears, and I'm standing on top of a pile of people. Or
no, I think the closest I've come to was in middle school. I once shoved a kid that was, I think he was like picking on me or bullying me or something, and I shoved him, and he tripped over a bench and fell into the ground.
Whoa! Well, that was kind of low. You could have killed that kid. That's what happens in the movies, you know.
On top of him.
Somebody shoves someone and then they fall back and like hit their head on a turlet or something. And yeah, that could have been you, man.
Hey, who could blame me?
You are a wrestler though, Nick. So I'm sure you've stood up top.
True. Yeah, true. Yeah.
No, I lose all my matches.
Oh, you gotta get better.
Yeah, you gotta talk to somebody. Talk to the promoters about that, man. Come on, you gotta get one.
But I have stood on top of somebody for a pin, but they quickly kicked out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to March 16th. We have Heathcliff walking down a sidewalk with kind of a smug look on his face, and he's got a fishbowl on his head. This is great. And then in the window, a woman also has a fishbowl on her head. And the fishbowl in the window, the fish in the fishbowl in the window is saying, "We're living the dream."
It took me a while to clock who was saying that. My mind,
yeah,
the lady saying that probably.
Yeah,
she's spying Heathcliff and thinking, "Oh, we're both wearing fish."
And you would assume that.
Classic Heathcliff. It's the other fish stating that. Lovely, lovely.
Zagged on you.
Yeah, the dream is to be in a fishbowl atop someone's head.
Well,
that's what every fish aspires to.
Yeah. And you would think, like, it's, you know, I could see, like, if it was, like, another animal. Like, the fish, you know, the way that they're saying it is, like, we're living the dream. We just get to ride around. We don't have to do any work, you know. But they're in a fishbowl. They're still swimming. They're still doing their normal mode of travel. So
if you, it'd be like if you were in an airplane, but on a treadmill.
Yeah, it would be like that.
You're flying around the country, but or the world, but you're also walking.
I also want to note Gallagher 316. Should we drop the Stone Cold sound effect every year on 316? Should we do a Gallagher 316? Just real quick, drop it in here. You know, I don't know.
What sound effect exactly?
You know, the theme song? Yeah.
Like
know.
The smashing glass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You some bitch!
Great. I forgot. When you first brought up Gallagher 316, I thought you were talking about my wrestling character, which is Gallagher 3.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You could do that. You could do that.
Gallagher 3.
In one of your matches.
Comma 16.
Let's play your walk-in sound, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have entrance music?
I do. Let me see if I can find it.
We could also...
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Smash two beers and drink them. What else does he do?
Oh, you should smash two beers with the sledgehammer.
Gallagher that'd hammer. Be fun.
It's like
this
a
is my theme song.
Minor key version of The Entertainer.
Yeah, with some crowd laughter built in.
And for the listener, there was also, we were laughing during that. It might be hard to distinguish.
Yeah, I don't know if you could tell, but laughter. Yeah, we were laughing for sure.
I love it. Every year, the week of March 16th, we'll play the we'll say Gallagher 316 and play the Stone Cold theme song.
Yeah, that's the bit.
I remember in the early days of Stone Cold, he hit somebody with a stunner, and then he got in their face and yelled, DTA, you stupid piece of trash. Don't ever trust nobody. And I always thought that was very funny.
He's the best.
Because it said DTA, and then he turned it into you, which would be don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
But he made it. Don't ever trust nobody.
Oh, we love him. We love him.
We love that Stone Cold. All right, moving on to, we're going to look this Sunday.
We got to look at this. Oh, we have to look at the Sunday.
So this was Sunday, March 17th. This was St. Patrick's Day. And it's the introduction of a new character. So first we have the Sunday with Heathcliff graphic. It's Heathcliff in like some sort of mime costume maybe, or like French artist costume. He's got like a beret. Well, and he's doing a some sort of hand gesture that says very that is giving French, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like Scottish. Like, oh, you know,
oh,
like
yes,
the hat and the, but there's no plaid there, but
oh, okay,
but
it's
there's
that,
like
yeah.
bagpipes happening, which is also like
that's not Irish,
it's not
that's
Irish, Scottish. None of this is Irish.
But so he, so Jimmy is sort of leading, holding a wand. What do you call that when you're leading a parade? What do you hold?
A baton.
Yes. And he's in this. Is this hat? Is that a Scottish or Irish hat that Jimmy is wearing?
I think it's just meant to be like a marching band hat.
Okay.
But
yeah,
in my experience in marching band, which I was in, it's more like a big kind of regular hat with like a feather on it. You never really have right. just the feather is like the Buckingham Palace guards, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
This one looks hairy.
Yeah, I got like it. You know what I mean? Hat. Like I'm not. I got it. I saw it. I was like, I know what I'm going for. You know.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
It almost looks like four wigs just sort of stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
Which I think would be great if Jimmy started rocking that.
It does look segmented in that way, which is interesting.
But Jimmy is sort of leading a parade, and behind him is a green Wolverine with a bagpipe.
I don't know that I would have labeled it as a green Wolverine if it were not for the last panel of this comic strip.
Right, which shows a very innocent-looking family.
Yes.
Not the Nutmegs.
No, not the Nutmegs.
Very excited.
Well, the dad's excited. Yeah. He's
excited in one panel. In one panel, he's saying, "Look!" exclamation point. But then the next panel has no punctuation and just says, "The Green Wolverine." Look! The Green Wolverine.
So, yes, that final panel is the family watching the Green Wolverine walk down the street. In front of the house is Heathcliff, inexplicably.
There you go.
There's no expletives or nothing. He's not cursing.
No, he's not saying
unexpletively.
But yeah, Heathcliff is there. I think just to get Heathcliff into the comic strip at some point. Because otherwise he's not in the main strip. He's in the top panels, but those panels are extraneous.
I do like that top panel of him with just his head peeking out.
It's great. That's my favorite part of the Sundays.
No reason, but it's great. I gotta say, I don't know if I'm feeling the Green Wolverine. God love him. But I think with a couple iterations on this, we got something. I'm not against the idea of, if you say the Green Wolverine to me, I'm into it. I don't hate it. But I need something else on this, on the visual here, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't look like
Green
Wolverine.
Yeah, when I hear that, when I hear Green Wolverine, I think, "Oh, is Logan jealous?"
Yeah, well, he was. He's always jealous of Jean Grey and Scott.
Scott Summers,
Cyclops himself. But yeah, oh, that would be funny actually if it just straight up was like the X-Men Wolverine, but literally green. But this looks kind of like a raccoon, Logan, like a skunk, you know?
Yeah, it does look like that. And it's not what I would expect when I hear the term Green Wolverine. I frankly would have expected maybe to see Logan after having food poisoning or something. when I heard Green Wolverine. I guess I'm agreeing with you, Kyle. I didn't expect this.
Wolverine, after eating some of Gambit's Cajun cooking.
Gumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, can I just say, the kitty corner, I'm not buying it. I'm saying that's Cap. This man's
lying. You're saying it's Cap?
Okay. I'm saying it's Cap. So,
it says Matt McCurry of Columbus, Ohio, says when he reads the funny papers, his cat Mendacia sits on his lap and hisses at the cartoon mice.
I think you're right, because mendacity, another word for lying.
Oh,
really?
Mendacity.
I did not know that.
The quality of being mendacious, untruthfulness, tendency to lie.
Wow.
This person is Zodiac Killer style planting their confession in their false kitty corner.
I wonder if that's like, is that a Spanish word, mendacia?
It could be that too.
Spanish?
There's no way for us to know, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I think it's Google does not have the ability to translate.
It is Latin. Mendacia is Latin for lies.
Wow. So it holds up.
Wow.
I cracked the case. What can I say?
I wonder what's Latin for cap. I guess Mendacia.
I guess, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that one slipped by the editors of Kitty Corner.
I looked it up. Latin for cap is cap, according to Google. But that can't be right.
Maybe caps did not exist in the days of Latin. Do they make new Latin words for new concepts? Is Latin an evolving language, I guess? It's a dead language.
No, it's famously a dead language.
So they just don't have words for like new things, no. Like
email.
There's no Latin.
Well,
word
they had
for,
hats.
They had hats, yeah.
Let's see.
That's not cap. All right, let's move on to March 18th. Heathcliff is standing outside the observatory, big words observatory across the front of the building. It's a starry night. A telescope is pointed to the sky, and a scientist is standing in front of the observatory talking to Heathcliff. And the scientist saying, "The fault, dear Heathcliff, is not in our stars, but in ourselves."
I just got one word. I just got one word to say. Real. That's real. You know.
Is that a quote?
Yes, that is Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare.
From what play? Julius Caesar.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the fault, dear Brutus. That's it's not right. In our stars, yes. But in ourselves, yeah, yeah. That we are underlings. Yeah.
It's really. I
don't know what it means, but it's
well, funny. It's. I think it's the original. Within the context of the play, I think it's meaning like it's not prophecy.
In our fate?
It's not prophecy. It's not fate. It's we did this. You know.
Yes, I see.
We are the makers of our own fate, one might say.
One might say that. I mean, listen, Shakespeare, could you just have said that? What's with all these extra words, buddy?
Now, JP, we like to use these comics to get to know our guests, as I mentioned earlier. What's your stance on astrology? Are you reading the news? I don't know why you'd read it in the newspaper. Do you follow your horoscope? Does it have any impact on your day-to-day life?
Gosh, no, it does not. No, I never really look at it. I know what I am. I know I'm a Cancer.
Yeah.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, we know that, but what's your sign?
Cancer on this show.
Jeez.
Hey, come on. We're just goofing. We're just razzing you.
Kyle, I had a dream that you were upset with me for making fun of you on the show.
No, I'm not. First of all, let me assure you, I'm not. What was it you made fun of me about?
I don't remember, but I think it is something I actually said on the show that, that was, it must have been like, oh, it must have been subconsciously bothering me, like, oh boy,
okay, yeah, I figure it out because you need to get this off your chest. We need to work through this.
I don't remember what it was, but it, there's no way it was anything that was actually offensive.
Do you remember how?
Oh, you know what it was? Oh. I said, the city dump was what we call your apartment.
So, and that really, you did say that.
You did say that.
Imagine, in your dream, it was a real thing that you said.
Imagine if I had been like stewing about that.
So deep down, you are, it's subconsciously, you are very guilty about that.
Yeah.
I think I did. I think right afterward, I thought, oh, I probably should have said, that's what they call my apartment. Because it would have been nicer.
It is. It was extra funny because Kyle almost got shot in his apartment, which I
that's
feel like
true. That's yeah, that is true. It is kind of, it is actually kind of a dump.
I guess there is a bullet hole in it somewhere.
there is a bullet hole in it. They replaced the window, but they did not replace my blinds. So there is still like a little hole where the bullet went through the blinds. But I got a little, this is a dump move, but I got a little bit of masking tape and just kind of put it over. Cause I'm just like, I don't want anybody coming in here. Like, I don't need them. Just leave me alone. I don't need them putting in new blinds or whatever, you know?
But is there still a bullet hole in the wall too?
No, that they patched that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just the blinds.
All right. We should keep moving here. So we got March 19th. A woman is walking three dogs, and Iggy, I think that's Iggy, is there on the sidewalk as well. And they're both turning to look at a sort of a hulking figure. I think it's actually meant to look like the Incredible Hulk, but as though Heathcliff turned into the Incredible Hulk. He's got the green, big green muscular body, the purple shorts, but he's still got Heathcliff's tail and Heathcliff's ears. And Iggy is saying, dogs make him angry. So Heathcliff turned into the Hulk.
Hulk,
the dogs made him angry.
Hulkcliff.
Yes,
Hulkcliff. Hulkcliff. This is great. I love this. Apparently this is not the first time we've seen Hulkcliff. I saw them discussing this in the Discord, and I think somebody mentioned that this has happened before. I'm trying to pull up a Heathcliff AI search.
Let's see. Oh, Kyle, you're in the Discord now.
I do see one here.
I am. Yeah, I am in the Discord. I've been lurking in there for a while now. Thank you.
So yes, so here I'm trying to pull up this other one. I think I got it here. Yes.
Ah. Oh. Yeah. He's nude in this one.
No shorts. He lost the shorts on his way out.
And he's sort of bouncing away from the house.
Almost like he got kicked out or thrown out by Uncle Phil.
It looks like he hit the ground. Bounced up, hit the ground again, bounced up again, and he's still in the air from that second bounce.
I think it's meant to be like, you know, like because that's how the Hulk moves, right? Is he bounds everywhere?
Usually,
you know,
big bounces, not
usually
bunny
big
style.
Bounces though. Yeah, it's usually
not little bunny.
And the way that he's positioned, it looks like he's pogoing on his butt. Yeah. And he's got a weird grin. He's got like Joker smile too.
So this was all the way back in 2015. So this is 9 years later. Heathcliff has once again turned into Hulk, and I think this is a better version of it.
Definitely,
today's version.
I like the idea that when Heathcliff hulks out, he puts on pants.
Yes, I think you need the
which
pants.
I think that is somebody. Somebody made that joke in the Discord, but yeah, the pants just appear and they're already ripped up. Also.
It would be immodest if he didn't have the pants.
No, yeah. Well, you know, everything gets Hulkified when you Hulk out, so he's got to put the pants on.
Did the Hulk in the Marvel movies, did he have, like, the purple pants, too?
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah.
They kept him. Were, I think, maybe a subtler purple, you know.
They might have been jeans at some point.
They might have been jeans at some point.
I do say, I think this might even be a, the way he's simply walking away from the dogs with his back towards us. Is that a very clever reference to the Lou Ferrigno Hulk TV series? Yeah. Where he always sort of walks away.
The love theme from the Hulk playing, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of that. Oh, wait.
Let's
hear. I accidentally pulled up Hulk Hogan theme song.
You should have just well, let's hear that, too.
Yeah, now I want to hear that.
Okay. Wait.
Oh, this is the main theme. No, you got to do the walking away music. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's so, it's so funny that they were like pitching a Hulk TV show and their idea for it was like, he just goes from town to town solving mysteries or whatever. They're like helping people. Like, oh yeah, that's it.
Wait, what?
There it is.
Okay, wait, one more time. Let's try this one. Oh, wait, is it slow at the beginning?
Yeah.
Did you mix both of the themes together? And it comes crashing down.
That's so strange. I didn't realize that the Hulk Hogan theme song started with a slow version of the I Am a Real American.
The official version. I don't know if I imagine when they put that into the Q Lab for him to do the entrance, they skipped that part.
I guess so, but why would it even be in there? All right, here's the...
There it is.
Lonely Man.
Beautiful.
Just when you think of Hulk, you think beautiful, dulcet piano tones.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Taxi theme song, which I also love.
Oh, yeah, the Taxi theme's an all-timer.
Did they? Now I'm pulling it up and it says Taxi theme song Rick and Morty. Did Rick and Morty do something with the Taxi
theme song? Christ, I don't know. Awesome.
Those were the glory days of theme songs.
It sounds like something you would hear when you walk to a new village in Ocarina of Time.
As long as you're playing theme songs from that era. I think this is maybe my favorite.
Welcome back.
I mean, that's great vocal tone. But I gotta go with it's the Jeffersons. Same old place, right?
The Jeffersons.
Number one with a bullet.
I mean, that's a good one. This is a song I would listen to any day of the week. The Jefferson's theme song? I don't know if I'd put that on the stereo.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's good. It's good.
Actually, Sanford and Son.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Sanford and Son.
Yeah, I'll play a little bit of that. I don't know why we're doing this section.
I think it's clear. I think the connection's clear. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
Todd Glass used to tell this story about Red Fox, the star of Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
He would play, you know, he was a stand-up comic, and one time he had a big band playing the Sanford and Son song as his introduction, so they, you know, played like the full 5-minute song, and then Red Fox comes out and he says, and the audience is small, and he goes like, five people? I ain't playing for no five fucking people. And then he walks back out and the band plays the song again.
I'm doing that in my improv show tonight.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have play the entirety of my entrance music, which is Hulk Hogan's entrance music.
Which every improviser gets their own track.
They get their own track. It's like batters walking up, you know.
All right. So now we have March 20th. Heathcliff is doing his pounce, but he's pouncing onto the welcoming arms of Grandma Nutmeg, who's sitting on a couch, and Iggy and Grandpa are standing in the doorway, and Iggy is saying, I think we know who his favorite is.
Yeah, I think accent on the favorite.
One more time? Let's get the real.
I think we know who his favorite is.
Oh, okay.
That was my Iggy.
You decided to do a child's voice.
a little boy voice.
Well, he is a little boy.
Yeah. No, that's good. I don't think it needs it, but I like it.
I think we know who his favorite is.
There we go.
That's my favorite so far. Yeah. That was really good.
Okay.
That was really nice.
I think we know what JP's favorite is. Was that one? So usually Heathcliff pounces on things he hates.
Yeah, it's usually an aggressive maneuver, but
yeah, it's sort of an inverse
love bomb.
Grandma Nutmeg seems to be welcoming it.
It's cute. Yeah. I mean, this is the cutest trip so far. This week has been very macho. What with buffed out Heathcliff and
he's getting
the Hulk Hogan theme song, the Stone Cold theme song. Yeah. Were those in the concert, or did we just...
No, those are actually in there.
That was the musical notes that they were playing during the Green Wolverine one.
It was all of those. It was a mashup.
All right, one more. Today, March 21st, Thursday. So Heathcliff is sitting on top of a stack of six garbage cans with a fish skeleton in his mouth. Sort of looking off wistfully. It seems wistful. His back is to us, but he's looking off wistfully into the moon. And two garbage men are standing behind him, and one of them is saying, "The zenith of a storied career."
I love this image of Heathcliff on the garbage can, wistfully looking with the fishbone in his mouth. Like, I many times have seen images and thought, like, man, that'd be a sick tattoo. This would be great. Like Heathcliff in the moonlight, sitting on top. I would probably edit it to one trash can so it's not like up the full length of my arm. But yeah, man, that speaks to me. That's real, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it.
And what a poetic caption too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I feel like Peter really went off on the captions this week. There was a lot.
Yeah.
We got Heathcliff called out by name, which I don't think you see very often.
Mm.
It's a lot of he's that. Yeah, in the Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, right. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also say I got to love the choice of hats on the garbage men here. It looks like the Jughead crown on one palette swap. And the other
a
one,
man
I
with
wanted...
white hair, too. Like, this is an old man who's wearing the Jughead crown hat.
And
I think that was supposed to be his hair, maybe, and the colorist decided, well, you're getting a crown.
And I want to call the other one a pimp hat just because of the redness of it. Can I say
that? We don't use that word.
Oh,
here.
Sorry. I didn't...
Hey, sex worker employer, that's what we... That's what we said. Yeah, so it sort of looks like a little mini cowboy hat, mm-hmm. I thought, too.
Yeah, maybe it's a mini cowboy hat. It's kind of, it's giving Carmen Sandiego a little bit, you know.
Yes.
But, again, small, you know. And it's, small. I think it's telling, too, that these garbage men are seeing this, and they're not thinking, like, oh, brother, I gotta clean this mess up. Like, that's how much they respect Heathcliff, mm-hmm. is that they're looking at it and they're like, a legend, you know. We don't mind, yes. sir. We'll pick up after you, you know. Because this is like, it's the rest of their night having to clean this mess up, you know.
Why did Heathcliff want to stack the six garbage cans one on top of the other and sit atop them?
If you have to ask, it's not for you, you know.
Because it does make it harder for him to get to the garbage.
Real ones know. Also, that's actually a good point. I would like to point out, I just realized this, the garbage can handles are positioned as such to make a ladder.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good detail.
Wow, you're
right.
Which
is a great detail I just caught because of you saying that. I would not have realized that before, but absolutely, that's how he got up there. I mean, I suppose he could have also, you know, pounced on it, but I think it's pretty clear that was the intention.
Or he could have started on the top one and put the cans underneath him.
Could he have?
Just like jumped up.
I'm failing to see that.
He could have rid atop the man-eating giant.
That's true. Now, JP, we like to use these comics to get to know our guests. Have you ever sat atop six garbage cans?
Have I ever sat atop? No, I'd say the closest thing to that I've had is I once saw my friend fall into maybe five bags of garbage on the side of the road.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. How did that happen?
Well, he was drunk.
Okay.
He was drunk one night, and he was walking past some garbage, and he decided to lay down among... He thought the bags looked...
So he didn't fall cushiony. In. He dove in.
No, yeah, he sort of... He saw five big pillowy-looking bags, and he thought, I'm going to crash on this real quick.
The garbage bags do look pillowy, but then... You don't know what's in there. It could be like broken glass and needles. Yeah.
I think they were like lawn. We were in front of a lawn, so I believe they were potentially filled with leaves and grass clippings. So he was right. Okay. They were nice and.
you were walking in front of the mattress store. the pillow store. You saw a bunch of garbage bags that said expired on them.
Expired pillows. All right. Well, let's move on to March Meatness.
Woo!
Wait, hold. Okay. Now we are up to round three of March Meatness, and JP, I have to apologize. You're sort of the game master here, and this is sort of a game, and we didn't consult you at all on this.
Oh no, that's okay. I mean,
is it a game? I don't know. I don't know if it qualifies.
This is more of a tournament than a game. So I think it's a little beyond my purview.
Okay. So this confuses you.
Yeah, no, I've never. I'm good with one game, but when you put multiple of them up together, that's beyond me. I can't track that.
Well. This week, for round two, we put up all the matchups on Twitter. These are all Twitter polls. So you, the audience, decided who advanced to round three.
How was our engagement on these polls, Nick? How did we do? We getting good turnout?
Well, so I was planning to do them once a day, and I did that for the first one, and then I forgot about the others. And I put all the final three all up today. But I still, I mean, we got like 73 votes for today's poll.
Is voting still open? Terrible.
It closed just as we began recording.
Oh, damn. I missed those today.
It's okay. Oh, man.
I did my part. I voted for,
I gotta say,
for two of the matchups.
I took a look before. I don't think we're going to be needing your vote.
No,
I think
was it not a one vote
These are
difference?
All pretty clear winners, if I remember right.
Oh, thank Christ.
Well, I think you're... Mostly right. We'll start with Jimmy versus Summer Mummy. This was the one I put up Friday, and yeah, that was overwhelmingly Jimmy, 78.7% to 21.3%. I was sort of rooting for Summer Mummy, but it didn't happen.
I was rooting for Summer Mummy too. Listen, I love Jimmy, but Jimmy, he's sort of like the Kansas City Chiefs at this point, where you know he's gonna win.
Yeah,
and I love an underdog, and I'm tired of all these goddamn State Farm commercials.
I am JP. You can't imagine how much I'm with you, buddy. I mean, listen. I get it. We all love Jimmy, and Jimmy doesn't have the baggage that the Kansas City Chiefs have. You know, he doesn't have someone as unlikable as Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Summer Mummy, and I'm sad to see him out of this tournament. But I know in my heart that he'll be back.
He will?
Yeah. I know. Oh, okay. Yeah, next year.
Well, once summer comes around, it's not summer yet. Yeah. Give him some time.
Because I was going to propose sort of a loser's bracket where one of the losers, and maybe some of the characters we didn't include, could one of them could come out on top and could rejoin the competition.
Ooh, wow. You should do that.
We'll talk about that next week.
We'll figure that out. But yeah, I think I foresee good things in the future for the Summer Mummy. Like the man Clint Black says, summer's coming, okay? And watch out.
It's kind of like what the anti-Ned Stark says. Summer is coming.
Yeah. That's who is the anti-Ned Stark? I guess it would be Tyrion Lannister?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or Tywin Lannister?
Yeah, it would be a Lannister.
Okay. Then we have Pops Heathcliff versus the Mead Cowboy. JP, who do you think came out on top here?
Oh, well, I did. Okay. I looked at the poll while you were talking. But I am happy to say that my boy, Pops Heathcliff, who I have been rooting for ever since you guys graciously put him, advanced him over the meat robot, made it through. Pops Heathcliff wins in a slobber knocker.
A stunning upset. I think
61.6% to 38.4%. Throughout the day, it was pretty close, but some Heathcliff influencers, I think, nudged the vote. Mm.
And that's what we want to see. We want to see that type of content engagement.
Yes,
what we like. I feel as if we've unfairly maligned Pops Heathcliff on the podcast. I do want to give him his flowers, because I do
think you have, because I gotta say, I'm a big Pops fan. I think it's so funny that he's a cat that is, we can assume, escaped from human jail for
human
committing
jail
some sort of unspeakable crime,
presumably. Yeah, it's got to be like murder. I mean, it's got to be really bad. He's been there a long time.
A crime so bad they locked up a cat in person jail.
They tried this cat as an adult male. Adult person.
Yeah, they gave him the uniform and everything.
Especially heinous is what they said in the court decision.
All right, and then we have the garbage ape versus the blob. I mean, this,
yeah,
the blob had no chance.
I mean, come on, and I love the blob, but yeah, it was never going to happen for him.
I love the blob.
88.9% to 11.1%. Yeah, you know, the blob, he doesn't get much March Madness love, I think is what we've learned.
Can I ask, the garbage ape, the strip of the garbage ape where his head is on a AT-AT walker, is that a real strip?
Yes. AT-AT walker, yeah.
That's real. Okay.
That's a real one.
What is the caption?
Let me see if I can find it. I'll never find it. Oh, wait, here it is, yeah. Nothing can stop the garbage ape. Yeah.
And that turned out to be true. That's the blob couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
It's also great. That's a great one, too, because everything, like, it's all black and white. Like, except for the...
It's a snowy day. It's meant to look like Hoth, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nothing can stop
him. He's just flat expression. Yeah, I mean, you can't vote against the garbage ape. That's great.
And then the Manning Giant versus the Hype Slug. The Manning Giant wins it 61% to 39%.
Yeah.
Really? You were rooting for the Hype Slug.
I love the Hype Slug, but I think we've made ourselves clear on this podcast. This is a very pro Man-Eating Giant podcast, I think.
Yeah.
We're big fans. But
the Meg. That's the only Meg that I care about.
I think the Manning Giant as a character is better, but I love the context around Hype Slug. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're yes. Big January 6th.
Yeah. Yes.
We know. Yeah, we know what you mean, JP.
I just feel like the hype slug
is a patriot. You know.
Okay, so that brings us to round three. Our round three matchups.
Our final four.
Yeah, the final four. Mm. Wow. Yeah. And we're ending this tournament just as the real tournament starts, which is maybe some...
Should we say our Feral Four?
Oh, okay, yeah. I like that.
You like that?
Or what about our Heathcliff Final Four?
I like that more.
Yeah, that's better. You're right. That's better. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Okay, but our Final Four, we have the number one seed, Jimmy, versus the number 13 seed Pops Heathcliff. Kyle, how do you see this matchup
this
going?
This is interesting because I think for sure Jimmy's going to win, but I could see some Heathcliff traditionalists getting out there, working the ground game, knocking on doors, and getting the votes out for Pops Heathcliff. I think Pops Heathcliff has proven himself a bit of a giant killer here. I think people want to see if they can move him on to the next round and see if he can be an actual giant killer in the final.
He has the narrative behind him, narrative momentum. JP, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think Jimmy's going to come out on top, but I think Pop's going to give him a real run for his money. I think Pops is stronger than we think, stronger than you guys give him credit for.
He's prison strength, yeah.
Killed a guy.
He's lifting busted out of prison. Day, yeah. He's been on the lam for years. And
he's been on and off the lam. He's got a real on again, off again relationship with the lam.
Well, he's coming out on top. Well, no, not on top. He's coming out below Jimmy, but he's
but close.
But just making it this far is a victory in itself.
Quite a feat.
The Cinderella story.
Yeah, absolutely. The tournament so far. No shame in losing in this round. But we don't know. We don't know for sure yet. We don't know.
I mean, if you look at it, the other competitors are the numbers 1, 2, and 3 seeds.
Yeah.
Because we have here in the second matchup, the Garbage Ape, the number 2 seed, versus the Man-Eating Giant, the number 3 seed. Kyle, how do you see this one going?
This is going to be a tight one. I really think Garbage Ape is ultimately going to take it. But if anybody could give Garbage Ape a run for his money, it's the Man-Eating Giant. I think... again, those Heathcliff, maybe not as traditionalist as Pops Heathcliff fans, but I think some old school Heathcliff fans are going to come out. They're going to have a real slobber knocker here.
JP, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think the Garbage Ape, it's hard to go against him. He changed the game when it came to side characters in the strip. He's sort of the blueprint that a lot of these have followed in his steps. And so, you know, I think the Man-Eating Giant's got a tough game ahead of him, but anything's possible. So we'll see.
Anything's possible. I just don't see a world where the Garbage Ape doesn't make it to that final matchup.
Well, like they say, nothing can stop the Garbage Ape.
That's true.
That's so true.
I'm predicting a finals of Jimmy versus the Man-Eating Giant.
Wow.
What do you guys think?
Wait, did you just say?
Oh, I mean Garbage Ape. Okay. I'm predicting Jimmy versus the Garbage Ape. I don't see it going any other way.
You know what? Just for the sake of intrigue, I'm gonna say Garbage Ape versus Pops Heathcliff. I think it can happen. I want to believe anything is possible.
Yeah, I predict, you know what, I want to see Pops Heathcliff taking that stance atop a pile of Jimmy corpses. I'm calling Pops Heathcliff Garbage Ape. I want to see it.
Let's do it. Folks, okay. Make
call
it
me
happen.
A traditionalist. Call if me a conservative. You, if
call
you want.
If you please call me that.
And I guess I'll place both these polls tomorrow and just leave them open all week.
Yeah, right? Let's give people plenty of time to get to the polls. Tell your friends, you know, have people create accounts on X.com to vote in this thing. Use all the fake emails you got. We need you out in full force.
X.com, the your guys' platform of choice.
The everything app.
That's right.
Yeah. It's where it all happens. Do my banking on there.
Okay, well, that wraps up March Meatness, and that wraps up the show. JP, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And I'll let everyone listening know I will be back soon, hopefully. I guess I got to discuss it with you guys.
But, wow, yeah. I mean, we did, you know, you're just sort of unilaterally deciding that.
But I have a new...
No, you got a game.
I have a new game in the works. I think it's either going to be really good and funny or it's going to suck bad, but either way, it'll be fun. So
those are the only two options. It cannot be mid. No. You heard it here, folks.
Oh, and I forgot. We had a bunch of people fill out these brackets on challenge.com. Maybe we should like give them the closest bracket a prize.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That idea. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure that out. Figure out what that prize could be. Yeah.
and what the
how we're gonna
how I mean, I think it tells us what the best bracket was, hopefully. I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It gets a little thornier giving out prizes when the first round was just us going, well, I think this should happen. But come on, we're having fun, you know.
It's fun. We're having the time of our lives here. Okay, well, hey, that wraps up the show, and until next time, that bothers me.